delight in your word and to rejoice in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was driving in from Baton Rouge this morning, I crossed over the intercoastal bridge. How many of you crossed over the intercoastal bridge this morning? All right. For the seven of y'all that joined me, we know that bridge has been delayed a good bit. And do we know why it was delayed? Because it was what? It was sinking, right? Well, we have lots of technology today, and we didn't figure that out until the bridge was built and even in the process of being built. But way back in the Dark Ages, we're not alone. Because the church in a town in Italy decided they wanted to build a tower for its bells. It was a common practice, and this particular town was doing really well. In fact, it was doing so well that they wanted to show off how well they were doing to those around them by building a prestigious and elegant tower for their church bells. So they began to build an 8-story church bell tower. And over the course of about 100 years, this building would happen. About 3 years into this and 3 stories into it, they realized that this tower, bell tower, wasn't quite how it was supposed to be. In fact, they noticed that on one of the sides of this church bell tower, it was beginning to lean. And they did some research to figure out that, well, the ground under the tower where they were building was made of soft materials on one side and harder materials on the other side. So they paused building after about 3 stories in this way of showing off their great affluency and wealth. And about 100 years later, they began to build again. And this time, they began to build. They were going to fix their problem by building one side higher than the other, because that way they could even up the top and it wouldn't look so odd. Well, when you build one side taller than the other, guess what? One side has more than the other, and that is weight. So it exacerbated the problem to where the tower began to lean further and further. And finally, 100 years in, they were able to finish the 8 stories. And today we know this tower as what? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. I share that illustration because the foundation is important. And while it was thought that in the great wisdom and in the great strength of this town during the Dark Ages, they would show this off, what they actually ended up showing off was a lack of planning and a lack of knowledge that is celebrated even some 800 years later by our own people. I opened the service this morning with a passage of scripture that says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Today we celebrate Grandparents' Day, and I'm so glad that you've chosen to be here. And some of you have brought grandchildren. Some of you have brought grandparents. Some of you have brought everything in between. Some of you are grandparents-to-be. And some of you are here because you value the spiritual side of your family. And so the message this morning is going to be focused on this statement, and I'll repeat it several times today. But it is this: our future is our responsibility. Our future is our responsibility, and our responsibility is to lay the foundation in Christ. I'll say that again. Our future is our responsibility, and our responsibility as family members is to lay the foundation in Christ. We're celebrating our year of joy this year in our church. If you're a guest with us, we're glad you're here. We're thankful that you're here. We're celebrating joy this year. And there is great joy that comes in grandparenting. And so for you grandparents who are here, I know that this might be one of the times you get to see your grandchildren in church and worship with them. What a great joy that is. And I'm glad that you're here to celebrate that with us. Let me continue reading from Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, I'll read it again, and we'll read this whole passage, and this will really be the source of where we begin today. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house and fell on it, and great was the fall of it. Our future is our responsibility. And I'll put it in other words, we need to own up in our families. We need to take responsibility for the direction of the way things go in our families. Now, grandparents, parents, children, grandchildren alike, all of us have a part in our families. All of us participate in certain facets of what our families do. We have certain chores around our house that we expect the kids to do. We have certain meals we expect our kids to cook. We have certain protocols that we expect them to live by. That is a standard that we have set in our own home. We have said these are the things that we are responsible for. And everybody in under our roof has to own up to the things they do, because that is a part of who we are. And what is the foundation of the things that have to be done? Well, I don't know how your family works, but most of us eat every day. I don't know if y'all do that or not, but we have people who are responsible for taking care of cooking. But we don't eat just with our fingers, right? I don't know about y'all, but we're from Baton Rouge, so we eat with utensils and plates and stuff. We have to get those things washed. We have to get those things taken care of. So we have dishes to do. We have pots to clean. I don't know about y'all, but our grass grows around our house. We have a yard that has to be maintained. Some of y'all wear the same clothes maybe multiple days. We try not to do that. It doesn't always happen, but we try not to do that. Laundry has to be done. In our house, we have people responsible for doing laundry. I say all of these things to say everybody in our family has our role. We own up. We take these things that are our responsibility. The future day in our house is dependent upon people doing what they're responsible to do in the family. Now, how does that relate to building your house on the rock? I'm going to go back to the words Jesus said. Now, if you know the context of Matthew chapter 7, it's right on the heels. It's right on the heels of Jesus giving the blueprint for the kingdom of God. And he goes chapter 5, 6, and 7 and talks about this is what a kingdom of God looks like. These are the principles that you live by. You give to people. You pray for people. You don't return evil for evil. Lots of principles that Jesus gives of not trying to look like a super righteous person, but rather being who you are. In your family, whether you are at the top of the family as a grandparent, or maybe the bottom as a grandchild or even a great-grandchild, what are you doing to take responsibility in your home to lay a foundation for that Christian ethic in your home? Let me tell you how Moses told the people back in the Old Testament what to do. Now, let me give you some context just a bit. You've got a people who are leaving Egypt and heading to establish a new way of life. Things will change drastically for everyone leaving Egypt, because they're now going to be establishing homes in a different way, living lives in a different way. It will not be under the heavy hand of Pharaoh, but there will be freedom in many ways, and a new way of life. And listen to what Moses says to his people. Only take care and keep your soul diligently. Only take care, keep your soul, watch over your aliveness diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. What was Moses' words to a people entering a new place for a new way of life was, teach the right things to your children and to your children's children. So grandparents, I'm grateful you're here. You are not parenting. You are grandparenting. And there's a different way of doing that. You're not a parent, you're a grandparent. But the scripture tells us that we have a responsibility, even here, that the people of Israel had a responsibility to their children's children. Now let me ask for a show of hands here. How many of you were spiritually influenced by a grandparent? Significantly spiritually influenced by a grandparent. Lots of hands going up. Grandparents, I want you to know that you are those grandparents. Some of you, the hand is up for you in this room because you have been faithful to pray for and bring your children to church or teach them the message of the gospel. You took your role seriously to lay a foundation. Now, I've heard some of you, the stories of your grandparents and how it was your grandparent that drug you to church, maybe by your ear sometimes. But drug you to church. They took it seriously that church was something that was important. And so I'm going to share this with you. Take your responsibility seriously. Grandparents, take your responsibility seriously. We take a lot of things seriously in our lives. Yesterday was a day of college football. And I saw people painting their bodies, cheering, crying at the ends of games. I saw people giving lots of money, showing up all day to cook, to clean up. Some of y'all went to Tiger Stadium and you showed up an hour and a half early before the game. You took that seriously. Some of us take other things seriously. Travel ball seriously. Some of us take our hobbies seriously. Some of us take QVC seriously. Dude. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with taking things seriously. But here's what I want to level up for you is to say, are we taking our family and the foundation that we lay in our family seriously? Let me connect those things. When Jesus said, if you hear these words of mine and you put them into practice, you are like a wise man who built his foundation on the rock. Parents or grandparents, how are our children and grandchildren supposed to learn the principles of the kingdom of God if we don't bring them to them? Now look, these are good principles. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be kind to one another. Be sacrificial. Be humble. Care for people in their times of need. Let your words be building up words, not tearing down words. All of the principles that the kingdom of God teaches them, there are a lot of other principles that come naturally to everyone, but parents, grandparents specifically, Moses knew that there was a foundation that needed to be laid for their society to function. In fact, y'all remember the Ten Commandments, right? Y'all remember the Ten Commandments? Anybody know the fifth commandment? Anybody? Yeah. Honor your father and mother. And does anybody know what he says after that? That your what? That your days may be long. Now, a lot of people read that and go, okay, if I honor my father and mother, I'm going to live a long time. Is that what it means? That's really not what it means. I'm going to honor my father and mother because our society needs a society where we honor those in authority over us in order to last more than just one generation. So grandchildren, may I speak to you for a moment. We live in a culture that is increasingly dishonoring authorities that are above us. And we see it starting with with law enforcement, with governing officials, and the way we speak of people who are in governance around us. I'm not going to go into great detail, but we see authorities that are diminished. What Moses is teaching the younger people is this. If you don't respect authority, God established authority over you, you will not survive as a society. And so young people, it matters how you treat your parents, your grandparents, and those in every authority over you at school, in the government and in our community. It does matter. Take those things seriously because God has given us those things for a reason. He has a reason in those. All right, so let me ask you this then. Are you investing into the foundation that your family is built upon? Go back to Pisa with me. The church was doing well. The church wanted to build a tower so that church bells could ring. And while there may have been not 100% pure motives, their motives were to build a building onto the church to ring out the message of the church. Now, in its purest form, that is a good thing to do. I want to ask you to think about what is it that you would like to do to glorify and honor God or proclaim the message of Christ? And have you prepared the foundation for that to happen? In Pisa, that foundation wasn't prepared. Maybe they were trying to glorify God through the church bells, but they hadn't laid the foundation. And so grandparents, parents, it is vital that if we want our family to honor and glorify God, that we take the hard but necessary steps of laying a foundation of godliness in our homes. Let me give you an example. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all still with me? All right, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Paul met a man on one of his missionary journeys named Timothy. Timothy would end up becoming a pastor at Ephesus and elsewhere and travel around with him. But Paul knew Timothy's grandmother, and his grandmother was named Lois. You see it up here? I'm going to read this verse to you. I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. What do we see the scripture teaching here? And this is lovely. We see that the faith from one generation to the next and even to the next was the way God raised up one of the pastors in the early church. Now, grandparents, I want to encourage you. Your faith and what you have invested into your family and your children directly will affect what is invested into the next generation. Good or bad, you have an influence and a purpose. And I'll say this, I'll even go on to argue this. I believe personally that Paul knew Lois. And I believe Paul knew and was confident that Timothy would come to faith because of the influence that Lois had in her family. Now, y'all can probably replace that name Lois with Betty or Hilton or somebody like that, you know, that's invested one generation, that's reaping fruit in the next generation. Y'all can replace those names, and I can look around and give you names in this church of people that have done that. And praise God for that. Let me turn the corner just a bit. What you do matters. Our future is our responsibility. And so whether you're parenting, grandparenting, great-grandparenting, or whether you are on the other end of that, your future is your responsibility. And what we do to invest into that does matter. But there are times when it doesn't work. There are times when it doesn't work out like we want it to. I mentioned that our kids were going over here. Do y'all remember what book they were studying? Joel, yeah. Allison came to me last night. She goes, you know, I'm preparing for children's church. And she said, what would you say is the main message of the Old Testament? Oh, that's a good question. Because I'm seeing the same thing over and over. And she does one book a week. So she goes through every book of the Bible, 52 weeks of the year. She'll go through every book of the Bible, 66 books, one a week, and maybe combine a couple to make it through the year. But she says, I've seen the same thing over and over. And I said, well, I would say redemption. Redemption. Because God has chosen a people. He's allowed them to do what's right in their own eyes. Make up their own ways, their own laws, their own things. And then when they make a hash of things, allow them to be redeemed to what is truly right in God's sight. I said, redemption. And she said, yeah, I can see that. She said, my word is repentance. Over and over and over and over and over. She says, God is calling people to repentance. I say all that to say, sometimes in our families, even if we try and think we're doing everything right, children, grandchildren decide to go their own way. And as a Christian, when we see that, our hearts break. And some of you have prayed, and look, I'm telling you, in our Sunday school class, we pray every week for our family members. Why? Because we love our family members so much. If you were invited here today by somebody, somebody loves you. And they wanted you to be a part. But God's story of redemption isn't without sometimes getting ugly. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here today, I want to tell a testimony, and I'm sure you wouldn't mind. We've prayed for Shirley's family. I mean, David and I have talked about it often. But we've prayed for your family for so many years, and now seeing God move in her family. For years, you pray for people. Miss Betty, you've told the same story of years praying for family members and God moving. And we've also prayed for families that for a lot of years, God didn't. But I want to encourage you, there are real stories. There are real testimonies. And Frankie, you're here today, your family. Praise God. God has provided a way for you to be in the family of God again. It's never too late in God's timeline. Let me say it again. If you are a grandparent who's praying for your children or grandchildren, it's never too late in God's timeline. God has a purpose that's bigger than us. He's got a plan that's smarter than our plan. And there is a marriage between God's sovereign hand moving and working and doing all that he has to do and our responsibility. Our future is our responsibility. And those two things are married together, in which God calls us to do our part and he commands us to do our part, but he is all the while working his part for his perfect plan to come to be. In fact, let me give you an example of that in Deuteronomy. And I want to encourage you in this. If you're trying to lay that foundation of the kingdom of God in your family, let me hear this from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is what Jesus quotes when they said, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Jesus said, I got you. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words I command you today, love God, shall be, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your what? In your house. And when you walk, by the way, when you're walking, doing what you do when you walk. When you lie down in the evening. When you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. When you look out, you should be looking out and seeing love God. When you look down at your hands, you should look down and see love God. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I'm an LSU football fan. I enjoy it. I got a chance to go to Tiger Stadium with our group, and we got to go in the locker room and see the locker room. It's pretty neat. Got to walk out and see where the players walk out on the field. And right when they walk out of the field, Blake, what do they have? Wind bar. wind bar. Y'all probably seen it. They show it on TV. Big piece of tubing, and the players slap that bar when they go out. And what does it tell them to do, Blake? To win. When you leave this locker room, your job is to do one thing, and that's to win. Now, we're not football players. But I think they stole that from the Bible. Because what the Bible teaches is, make it a part of everything that you see, hear, and do every day. And so I want to give you, no matter where you are in your home, and you can be the child or the grandchild in your home. Love God. Now, one of our four-year-olds is going to go right on their wall. Look, I'm giving you permission. If your mom and dad say you can't do it, you can't. You don't have to do that. But if you want to go, no, I'm kidding. Make love God. Make it weave it into the fabric of how we do things. This is what Moses called us to do. Make it a real thing. Be practical with how we communicate the kingdom of God. What is love, church? I couldn't, some of our guests couldn't hear you. What is love, church? If we love our family, we want the best for them, and therefore we do something about it. Our future is our responsibility today. Some might say, well, golly, you just want to indoctrinate kids. And that might be what we would hear today. Religion caused trouble with the kids. As a loving parent, and maybe one day a loving grandparent, the last thing that I want for my children is harm. But I believe so passionately in the truth of God's word, and I have seen the evidence of good and godly people who love Jesus. I've seen the joy in their lives. I've seen the peace that comes from being filled with the Spirit of God. I've seen people learn how to be patient. I'm not talking about perfect people, but I've seen the power of God transforming people. Rick told me this morning, my wife told me that I'm a different person since I gave my life to the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Lynette came to me. What have you done with my husband? I said, I didn't do anything. Jesus did. He's a different person. The transforming power of God. And this is what Christians want for their family. Is the joy, the peace, the hope, the solid foundation that works with what God has created. We want that to be a part of all of the people we love's lives. We want the best for our family. And so we want to do something about it by proclaiming, this is what the Word of God says. Hear it, receive it, love it. Let me continue from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. The blessing comes from hearing the Word of God and loving it. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore your fathers, remember they're heading to this land, that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not even build. God's going to give you cities, you don't even have to build them. And houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. God is going to bless and bring blessing to those who are obedient to Him. Let's go back to a little town in Italy called Pisa. Anybody been to the Tower of Pisa personally? Anybody? Right. You've been there. Did you know that it's a site for people to go and visit? It's a tourist attraction. You go to Italy, let's go to Pisa, let's go see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Why would people want to go and see such a strange place?
Why?
There are a lot of other bell towers that are straight up, right? You can go up the road at St. John. You can see a bell tower, right? Why take your time and effort and why? And I believe the answer is because people love to see something that's different. And I'll say this. I think that that is a... And I read this as I was studying this. Here's what it said. Pisa, and I quote, Pisa is a symbol of resilience and redemption. Well, that comes pretty neat from a non-Christian source. Resilience and redemption. They didn't get it right the first time. It was messed up. They tried their best. They did it their own way. But ultimately, it was made imperfectly right. I don't know about you, but that's kind of the way I feel about my life. Imperfectly right. When I was in seventh grade, I went to a church camp, and a bald guitar playing guy who sang about Jesus told me that Jesus saves sinners that repent. And I knew that day that if I walked away, I had the most overwhelming feeling that if I walked away from that place without surrendering my life to Jesus, that I would be judged by God. Why? Because that's what the Bible said. And so that day I said, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I did lots of things that I shouldn't have done. My tower was crooked 3 stories in. But Jesus came and he continued to build, and he has made me imperfectly functional. And I believe that's what God does for us many times, is he takes something that's been messed up, that's out of whack, that's leaning and could be considered a disaster, and he redeems it and he makes it right and he uses it for his purpose. We have someone in this room who went to see that tower. Christian, you are something that someone sees every single day. At school, in your house, in your home, at work, at the Walmart, wherever you may be. You are imperfect, but you are functional and you have a purpose. And you're not a bell tower, but you are a vehicle that God can use to glorify his name. Let me take one final turn this afternoon, or this morning. I'm going to give you some quotes from 2 people running for president right now. I'm not going to tell you who said which one. Because you'll like one and you won't like the other. I know how you people. I'll give you 2 quotes. Here they are. Even in a non-Christian setting, listen to what the candidates running for president in our country right now are saying. Our future is what we make it be. Our future is what we make it be. All right? Let me give you another quote from another candidate running for president. This country belongs to those willing to fight for it. Both candidates believe that their followers must take action and do something to affect the future. And that's the call. It's the call going out to every citizen in our country. But I think it runs deeper than that. It is the call of God in our own government, if you will, our own governmented body. And that is our family that God has given us. And so I want to say this again. Our future is our responsibility. God has given us the Word of God to lay a foundation. And so I'm going to give you close out with some practical things that I would encourage you to do to make a difference in your family. And then one is this: make a plan. Make a plan. No bridge is built across any intercoastal waterway, or no tower is built in any country without a plan. No family is built on the foundations of God's Word without a plan. So develop a game plan on how you can communicate the truth of God's Word to your family. If you love and care about your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren and want them to know the Word of God, then develop a plan to make that happen. And that might be a schedule. It might be a family trip. It might be a church-going plan. Whatever it may be, develop a plan. And some of the things that we did were this. We were going to meet together every night. Every night. Unless one of us is gone, to pray together and to read some sort of scripture together. And some nights it's 5 minutes. Some nights it's 30 minutes. But we said this is important for us to come and together and talk about something of truth and something that matters and gather all of us on the same page every day. I wanted my children to know how to pray. If you go somewhere and somebody needs to give thanks for the food or pray for somebody that's hurting. So we picked a night of the week. Everybody has a night that they lead our prayer. Everybody has a night. If you're going to learn how to pray, you need to pray. You actually need to do it. And we talk about it. It'd be better to maybe word things this way or to think about things this way. This is how the Bible tells us. We try to coach and help those things. I have a son that wants to be a Bible teacher. Okay, how can I encourage that to take place? All right, Ash, come. Will you help me on Thursday nights on Thursday Night Live and just share with folks? It's an important thing. He comes and he's a part. I have a daughter that loves to sing. At least in my house. Both of them, I think, love to sing. And you know what? When she's singing, and Allison tells me, oh, it's so loud in here. That happens, doesn't it? You know what we do? We close the door. Eli did it last night. Okay, I got a solution for this. Mom's in the office. We'll just close the door. Because the plan is we want this to be something we encourage in our lives. So let's figure out a way for Hannah to sing as much as she wants and as loudly as she wants. You know, AirPods, they have that thing that turns off all the external sound. You can get some of those too. And we don't have everything right. We just try to figure out ways. Make a plan. Figure out practical ways for that plan to be. Secondly, make a plan. Secondly, be faithful. Be faithful at what you do. Proverbs 21:5 says this: the plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. If you make a plan and you're hasty with it and you can't follow through with it, poverty. You don't have what you're trying to get. But if you develop a plan and you're faithful with it, the diligent, the plans of the diligent, surely lead to abundance. Now again, people aren't formulas, so we can't program people to do what we want them to do. But we can create paths and tracks for people to run on that will encourage good things and encourage outcomes. God is the one, but I believe that our future, my future, is my responsibility. And the future of my family is my responsibility. So I am willing to say I will own it. And I will make plans and I will be faithful with those plans to do it. Make a plan, be faithful. I asked Ash last night, I said, Ash, what do you think? What can a grandparent do? And he said, well, thought about it for a minute. Remember what you told me? No? All right, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to remind you. Ash said, you know, Nana came by all the time. When y'all needed to go on a trip, or when we needed to shop or do something, Nana always came over. and stayed with us and played Uno with us while some other things that needed to happen happened. So grandparents, let me give you a good one. Invest into the parents of your grandchildren. Help them. Do things that give your time to help them honor God. Make a plan, be faithful, and invest into your family members. Invest into each other. Finally, let me close with this. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18 says this. But the Hesed, the faithful Lord, the unending love, the undying love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Let me read that again. The steadfast love, the unending love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. If you are God's child, His love does not stop being upon you ever. Period. Full stop. And His righteousness to children's children. Grandparent, don't give up. Make a plan. Be faithful in doing it. Invest into your families. Because the Word of God teaches us that God's love goes from generation to generation to generation, and you, grandparents, are a part of that process. Don't give up. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you and we're grateful for families being represented here today. Oh God, bring redemption, bring hope, bring salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord. Lord, help us to be faithful, diligent, plan-making, Christ-loving people that show Jesus Christ saves sinners that repent. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.